Welcome to this podcast. Calliope Awards for 2008 were presented on Thursday, May 1st. This event was sponsored by the Languages and Literature Division, the Liberal Arts Division, and the Lyceum Committee of the Annandale Campus of Northern Virginia Community College. Now you will hear winners in the Creative Nonfiction category as they read from their works. Third prize, M. Taylor Johnson for Midsummer.
Hi, thank you for having me here. Some things I write for myself, some things for the publications I hope they'll be in. This piece I wrote for my father. We stayed over at a friend's house that night, a big place that we called Out in the Country, where the open sky was flung out over the open land like green and blue blankets, cushioning clear air in between. We ate macaroni and cheese out on the porch, talking about anything and everything, laughing. My childhood best friend and I lay out our sleeping bags in the basement and stayed up late talking about boys and school and what we wanted to be when we grew up. The sky that night was the sharpest I can remember, stars prickling through my new glasses, the first I'd ever worn, round and gold-rimmed. The bright pinpoints looked down at us, unflickering, unchanged. Calm fell over us, and I snuggled deeper into my sleeping bag, clutching the edges around my neck so that only my face was exposed to the air. We heard an owl far off, calling out into the night, lonely but peaceful. The dog curled up next to her owners and slept. Look! Where? I saw one! Suddenly we were all awake again, sitting halfway up, eyes scanning the sky. There was silence a moment, and then another. Three more, then 10, then 20, and then 100 stars shot across the sky, strands of tinsel thrown loosely over the blackness. The meteors blazed sharp and clear, their fiery trails shining briefly before fading out. We murmured our wonder, shouted in amazement when a particularly large one roared into nothingness. My father looked ever so slightly proud. Proud, perhaps, that he had this phenomenon to show his family, or proud that we wanted to see. For what felt like a lifetime, we just lay and watched star after falling star. No one said a word, so I don't know if the others made wishes. I did. Thank you.
Second prize, Eric Wittenberg, for You've Heard Wrong, I'm Definitely Normal.
Good afternoon. I'm going to be doing something a little bit different. I'm going to read the first introductory paragraph and then skip down to something in the middle and finish it up with the last two. So bear with me. Can your parents have sex? Can your parents ride bicycles? So, like, your parents can read Braille? Anybody reading these questions would be compelled to imagine my parents with some kind of affliction of the legs, ailment of the eyes, or indisposition of the genital region. Yet questions like these were an all too common experience of my childhood. I regularly fielded questions like these out of the park daily. Apparently, having deaf parents gave some people some grand illusion that I led a bizarre, abnormal life when I was at home. Do things that are considered normal for me make your differences consequently abnormal? Could it be that we are all normal in different ways? Is normalcy relative? In a hearing family, one might be scolded for talking with a mouthful of food. In a deaf family, we can efficiently chew and sign at the same time. We're only scolded when we talk with a knife in our hand. See, dinner table etiquette tries to rule everybody. Some choose to follow said rules. Others choose to evolve. These evolved individuals are now commonly referred to as deaf people. My parents can have sex. How do you think I got here? Who do you think taught me to ride a bicycle? Do your parents buy bargain Braille books from the discount bin at Barnes and Blind? Why would mine? Your parents nod their head to the music your words make as they beat against their eardrums. My parents' pupils dilate with delight as I conduct a symphony of signs directed at the comprehending blinks of, I see, played out before their corneas. The ability to understand and be understood, to hear and have your thoughts heard, whether figuratively or literally. This is what matters the most. I'll be the first to proudly state that our families are different. But don't you dare say that mine isn't normal. Normal is as normal does. Every family is different in some way or another. So being different, like all families are, makes your family normal. My family is made normal in the differences that our families share. Being different is a result of one's experiences. Experience is wholly unique to each individual. So difference is the only thing without exception that people across the spectrum of age, race, gender, religion, and culture share in common. I guess you could say being different isn't so different after all. Thank you.
First prize, Catherine Rahim for Death by Camera.
Okay, to start off, my story is entitled Death by Camera, and it's recounting something that happened about 7 years ago when I was on a safari in Sri Lanka, my dad's homeland. In my many trips to Sri Lanka, my family has had numerous encounters with the country's wildlife, and this story is about one of those encounters with a 6-ton elephant. There you go. All right. There, standing in the middle of a path, walled in by rich, tall green grasses, was an enormous bull elephant. I stood up slowly, the way those two scientists do in Jurassic Park when they first see the long-necked dinosaurs, like if I moved too quickly, I'd break the spell and find out I was dreaming. Our driver was nervous. He was a young guy speaking in rapid-fire Sinhalese to my dad, but Dad wasn't paying much attention. He stood near me, snapping picture after picture with his beloved Nikon. My heart actually seemed to beat slower than it had been, and I drew even long breaths, trying to memorize every moment, to trace its textures and dips and divots and remember it forever. The driver was clearly in a hurry, but Dad was immersed in conversation with our tracker. He's a young elephant, teenage. See how he has no spots on his trunk? Dad's voice was soft as he translated. The tracker thinks he was probably kicked out of his herd. He's in musk, the male version of being in heat, so he must have been acting up and they threw him out. So we're playing chicken with an elephant that was so rough, a bunch of other elephants pulled rank and made him leave? Dad shushed me and raised his camera to his eye again. The driver said something that sounded pleading, and Dad answered him using a word I actually knew, the number 5. He was clearly doing the old 5 more minutes, just 5 more minutes. Well, he could have 5,000 minutes. I was content to spend eternity right there. I should have been scared. I would have been, I guess, if I wasn't so lost in the moment. But my eyes were locked on his, on the elephant's, and it felt like time was standing still. And then, like all moments of absolute beauty and tranquility, it was broken. The flash of Dad's camera snapped both myself and the elephant from our shared trance. The elephant raised his head until he held it so high I got the distinct impression that he was looking down his nose, trunk, at us. Dad, you're pissing him off. But he looks so amazing pissed off. Dad, can't you at least turn off the flash? No, too dark. I knew he had tuned out of our conversation as he lifted the camera again. He took another few pictures while I watched the elephant, trying to gauge his reaction. Another flash. Very suddenly, the elephant raised his front right foot and stamped it back against the ground hard enough to shake the Jeep. Something about his attitude gave me the distinct impression that he was low on patience. This will be a beautiful one, Dad whispered, and before I could tell him no, it all happened at once. Dad's camera flashed, bright and glaring, the tracker yelled something at the driver, the car lurched backwards, and the elephant, with a movement so powerful that I think my heart may actually have stopped, charged forward, shoulders hunched so that he looked even bigger than he already was. I would have screamed, but I couldn't. I froze, watching with a mixture of horror and fascination as the elephant thundered toward us. I could hear the grind of the Jeep's engine. The car was stalling. I wondered fleetingly if this was how I'd die. Death by elephant. Somehow the prospect didn't seem that horrible. My obituary would make for good copy. He was a breath away, his ears flapping, his trunk raised, a low trumpet like a growl emitting from his mouth. And then, to our utter astonishment, he stopped, just stopped right there in front of us. We were all silent, and my eyes were on his, and I swear to God, he was looking straight back at me. He suddenly let out this little snort that was so human-like I laughed. He sounded simultaneously annoyed and amused. I felt a perfect sense of calm as I smiled, and the elephant, eyes still on mine, reached his trunk out, pressed it to the front of the Jeep, and gave us a shove backwards. The engine sparked to life. The driver slammed on the gas. In the back, my whole family was thrown across the seats. Everyone except me, that is. I was still standing, my hands clasped around the bars of the open Jeep, staring back at the elephant, at my elephant. As a smile curved my lips, I could have sworn I saw an answering one glowing in his eyes. Oh, and by the way, we found out about a month later that Dad had chosen to keep a tidbit of information from us. Looking through our slides of Sri Lanka, waiting with anticipation for the shots of the bull elephant, Dad glanced down at the floor, then raised his eyes, grinned sheepishly, and made his confession. Yeah, so, funny story. Turns out there was no film in the camera. Thank you, and thank you.
Don't miss the podcast next week, Winning Essays by Students in English as a Second Language. Robert Brown of the Technology Applications Center is Technical Director of this podcast. I'm Shirley Noon.